Welcome to the Spirit of the Delaware Valley, a special presentation of Holy Spirit Radio. And now, here's your host, Dave Parker.
Hello, this is Dave Parker and Holy Spirit Radio, bringing to you another edition of the Spirit of the Delaware Valley. And joining me via phone is Monsignor Michael McGee, who is at the seminary, St. Charles Borromeo Seminary in Wynwood, Pennsylvania. And before we get started, Monsignor, I want to read St. Augustine's prayer to the Holy Spirit. So, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Breathe in me, O Holy Spirit, that my thoughts may all be holy. Act in me, O Holy Spirit, that my work too may be holy. Draw my heart, O Holy Spirit, that I love but what is holy. Strengthen me, O Holy Spirit, to defend all that is holy. Guard me then, O Holy Spirit, that I always may be holy. Amen. Hey, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Well, Monsignor, how are you today?
Good morning. Yes, doing fine. Thank you, Dave.
All right.
Good to talk to you.
Good to talk to you, too. And welcome back. Yesterday at Mass, you celebrated 9 and 11, I believe, at St. Francis Cabrini. Is that correct?
Yes.
And I was particularly struck by this weekend's readings, but more in particular to drill in onto the prayer aspect of your homily. But also what struck me was how you personalized it. Certain friends or people in your life that you hadn't heard from in a long time, but you had been praying for them constantly.
Right.
So could you kind of go into your homily and how pertinent many of us pray, but you personalized it so well, and you just brought it down to like, wow, I need prayer too. I need prayer too, and I pray all the time, and I have folks I need to pray for. So could you take it from there?
Right. Well, I mentioned one thing. You know, I think that sometimes the best story we can give for evangelization is our own story and how God has worked in our own lives, sometimes even to correct us. And that really was something that I was describing yesterday. It began with a conversation. Since our Lord had given us the parable in the Gospel of Luke about the necessity of praying without growing weary,
mm-hmm.
So I picked an example from years ago. It was a few years ago that I had been in a conversation with somebody in church after Mass about the Divine Mercy. It happened to be Divine Mercy Sunday, and I really, up to that point, I had nothing against the Divine Mercy devotion, but I was not really what I would call a devotee of it.
Mm-hmm.
I had many forms of prayer, like the rosary, but I didn't normally pray the Divine Mercy Chaplet. But this man, after Mass, was talking to me about how he thought we should have something special on the Divine Mercy Sunday, and especially at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, because that was the time when our Lord's mercy was most powerful. And I remember, I don't know how much I said it to him, but I really thought that was silly
mm-hmm.
at the time. I thought, really, how... if God's mercy is infinite, why would we say that it's more powerful at one moment than another? And prayer is, of course, powerful and important, but why would we say that one particular form of prayer is more powerful than another?
Mm-hmm.
And but he was talking about the practice that many people have of praying the Divine Mercy Chaplet at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, because that's the hour when our Lord died on the cross, and especially on Divine Mercy Sunday. So I had that conversation with him, and very day, there had been this friend that, as you mentioned, I had been praying for a number of months. It was a friend of mine whose twin brother, they were both my friends, his twin brother had died, and this friend was just losing his own desire to live, and he just wasn't in contact, and I was really concerned for him, because I thought if he cuts himself off, he's just going to wither away. And so I'd been praying for him for a number of months, and it just happened that very afternoon, out of the blue, after I'd just almost given up praying mm-hmm. for him, out of the blue, I just received an email from him, and he obviously was doing much better, and had a sort of a breakthrough. And I went back to that conversation that morning, what the parishioner had been saying to me about praying the Divine Mercy Chaplet at 3 o'clock on the afternoon. And I just, once I thought of that, I thought, I have to go back and see what time it was that yes. friend sent me that that email. Mm-hmm. And so the first chance I got, I looked back at the email, and he had sent it at 7 minutes after 3 o'clock.
Wow, that's what struck
Divine
me.
Mercy
yes.
Sunday.
Yes.
You know, and I just felt mildly, gently chastised by God, you know, that I had mm-hmm. made an arrogant judgment. And I thought about the ways where God did say, pray in a particular way at a particular time. One of the examples being the Old Testament reading that we had mm-hmm. yesterday, where mm-hmm. Moses would lift up his hands while Israel was in the battle. And as Moses' hands were raised up, the mm-hmm. Israelites had the better of the fight. But when his hands got tired and he lowered them, then the enemies, the Amalekites, mm-hmm. had the better of the fight. And there was nothing magic mm-hmm. in the raising of Moses' hands. That's not the point. Just as there's nothing magic of praying at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. But what was there in both of them, it seemed like the Lord wanted to show his power, and he wanted you to see that it was the prayer. It wasn't just luck. It was specifically his answer to prayer that was, and he wanted the prayer to be visible and pointed. And in the Divine Mercy Chaplet, it's the hour when our Lord died on the cross. No, God's mercy, I don't believe, is stronger than that another time, but that he would want to show the connection between that mercy and the power of Christ's cross. Mm-hmm. You know, that yes. is what really makes good sense. And I just felt the invitation not to be so arrogant about a particular devotion like that and the way that God is using it to show that he wants to be merciful. Another example from Scripture would be when Naaman the Syrian was there with leprosy, and Elijah, the prophet, was going to heal him, but he told him to go wash in the Jordan, and you know, he got all upset. Aren't there better rivers in Syria?
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't the magic of that water; it was the fact that it was the God of Israel who was doing this, and he wants to show that he's there, that he's the one who's doing this, and he wants us to know that our prayer is being heard. And that was just a little example. So I began to pray from that day. I began to think of other people who needed prayer, such as that one friend of mine, and who were similarly in dire straits. You know, as a priest, you know quite a few
yes.
people in situations like that. And so I began to pray for them one by one. I thought, well, the next one I'll pray for is this one. And over the next year, there were three more people, very similar situation, that I prayed the Divine Mercy Chaplet for at 3 in the afternoon as a regular thing. And within that next year, three more, just out of the blue, had some breakthrough and on their own contacted me again.
Mm-hmm.
And I just took that as a sign of the fact that God really delights in answering our prayers. And
absolutely.
He does want us to ask him.
Mm-hmm.
I think because, sure, he could give us those things without our asking, but then there would be no relationship. He wants the relationship more than he wants us to have the things that we're asking for. And,
yes.
and it's that coming to him and asking him for what we need that cultivate mm-hmm. that relationship, which
amen.
Is so important.
Hey, well, thank you so much, Monsignor. That's why I wanted you to come on while it was still fresh in my mind and on your heart and on your mind. But I want to give a shout out, and I did mention to you, you know, after Mass when I asked you to come up, to come on. We here at Holy Spirit Radio and most of our faithful listeners know that we have our 3 p.m. Holy Hour, where we start with the Divine Mercy Chaplet. So, and that's been our tradition. So, again, that's why it resonated with me so much.
Ah, Thank you, and I'm glad you do that.
And I wanted, again, it's not just in that hour, as you say. I mean, isn't prayer efficacious if we mean well with, you know, and we ask in true sincerity and humility and with expectation that it will, you know, be answered.
Right. In fact, I think specifically what our Lord had said to Saint Faustina was not that it was, just pray the Divine Mercy Chaplet at 3 in the afternoon. It was to pray it every day, but also at 3 p.m., the hour that our Lord died on the cross, to commemorate and be particularly mindful of his sacrifice as the source of all the graces that flow to us from the Father.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so it's, there's nothing mechanical or magic about it. It's just that our Lord wants us to know that that's the source of every good thing that he gives us for us.
Mm-hmm. And trust. Right. Jesus, I trust in you. How often do we say that? We get busy in the day and stuff, but sometimes we think, maybe it won't happen. And that's what he doesn't want us, where he doesn't want us to go.
There was another thing I mentioned, that there's yet another intention that I went to after those four that 10 years later is yet to be given.
Oh, yes.
Because those four came, it was an assurance to me that it's not that God doesn't want to answer our prayer. That delay, what seems like a delay sometimes, are for his good reasons. He knows that the person we're praying for has to go through some things, that maybe he wants us to be insistent so that it cultivates our relationship with him. We have to trust him also in what seems like his delay in answering our prayers.
Okay. Well said, Monsignor. Beautiful. So thank you for coming on and talking about that. I was going to kind of shift and, ask you how it's going with the seminarians in the year that started. When was it? In August? Is that correct?
It started in August, and the year is going very well. I just get a sense of the real peace and a grace here, especially this year. It seems like there's a tranquility among the men who are studying for the priesthood and a joy in the house here. I also, if you don't mind, I'd like to say something also about the School of Theological Studies, because that would touch a lot of people who would be listening.
Absolutely. Not at all, Monsignor.
Yeah. because everybody knows pretty much that the seminary is the place where men study for the priesthood, but that there's also this school within the seminary that is for non-seminarians. It's for anyone, any lay Catholic or any member of a religious community, or even priests who are already ordained, people who don't need seminary formation to be priests, but want to go deeper into their study of theology, into the study of the teaching of the Church. And so we have the School of Theological Studies. I know you're familiar with it from
yes.
One of the programs we call the Institute for Christian Formation, which is a thing that I hope everybody would come to know about, and that is a non-degree program where people can go session by session on Thursday evenings through the whole catechism of the Catholic Church.
Yes.
They're about 8 Thursday evenings in any given season, spring or fall, and that in going through those with different presenters and then the chance to interact with each other and ask questions about that aspect of the faith, it's been very well received because it gives people who thought their religious education was finished in 8th grade or,
yes.
Or around there,
mm-hmm.
the chance to see that the teachings of the faith are so rich that as adults to go deeper into them is even a joy that is beyond what people might have realized. And so each January we begin with a new group. So anybody who might be interested in going through that and going mm-hmm. through their faith with other like-minded Catholics in a deeper way could look on our website and be mm-hmm. looking out for the registration of a new group in January. We usually have we've had about 20 or around about 20 people mm-hmm. each January starting out.
Mm-hmm.
And
as you said, Monsignor, I'm familiar with it because I am part of it now. And I think it was about a year ago that we were talking about it. After one of your homilies, And after you served mass, you asked for some time to speak about this, and you kind of advertised for it. So, and there were some flyers in the back of our in the back of our church. And I took you up on that offer. And ladies and gentlemen, it is a wonderful, wonderful program. As Monsignor said, I'll just say ditto to all he said. But you meet so many good people in on different parts of their journey. And with the catechism. And if you want to go deeper and have good discussion, on a Thursday night about that and beyond, because it can go outside of those bounds, correct, Monsignor? If they have if they have questions, they can always, reach out. So I want to give a personal shout out to anyone who might be interested. Look it up,
Okay. And then, of course, we also have the courses that people can take for a Master of Arts in Theology. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of lay people who like to undertake that study and get their degree in theology, and we've had those classes in class. And just starting this January, we're opening up the possibility of taking them online as well. So some people who are too far away to drive or for whatever reason coming here in the evenings is not feasible. The possibility of taking courses for credit, for graduate credit online is opening up too. So we're expanding our possibilities for people who want to go deeper into their faith.
Yes. Well, thank you, Monsignor. Would you happen to have at your disposal a number they could call? Or I can probably look that up.
I'll be happy to provide it. I'm going to go into my... so that I'm looking at the website and won't be leading people astray. The website is scs.edu. That's St. Charles Seminary stands for .edu. So scs.edu, and on that page there is an option. There are several different possibilities, priestly formation, school of diaconal formation. This one is the School of Theological Studies, so it's the third one to click. And then within that, you see all of our different offerings. And, closer to the beginning of a given semester, we'd have open registration for new students and new participants for those things there. And also, if someone would like to give a call to ask any question, the number for our office of the School of Theological Studies is 610-785-6287.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, thank you, Monsignor. So as we kind of come to a close, anything else before we do close, Monsignor, that you want to share with us and our listeners?
No, just what comes to mind is thinking about the experience of these people who've been participants, just joy of realizing that our learning of the Catholic faith never ends. Mm-hmm. And precisely because what we're studying and what we're a part of learning more about is nothing short of the mystery of God himself, and that's an infinite mystery. And mystery doesn't mean that there's nothing we can understand. It means that we can understand more and more and never get to the end. And so that's what it's like there's a joy that I think a lot of people haven't begun to experience until they take up that study of the faith in a new way as adults.
Mm-hmm. Very well said. And you mentioned a word, community. I mean, and being in attendance is such fun. It can be a fun group. It is a fun group. Community of like-minded Catholics, again, on different parts of their journey. But yes, interaction with the presenter and you present on some evenings. And yes, ladies and gentlemen, I really highly recommend that you go online and look it up or call the seminary to find out more about all that's offered at St. Charles Borromeo Seminary.
And I'll give that number again, if you don't mind.
Sure, absolutely.
In case somebody missed it. That number again is 610-785-6287.
Okay, thank you, Monsignor.
And that's the School of Theological Studies.
Okay. Hey, would you close us with a prayer, please?
Certainly. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the gift of the riches of the Catholic faith. And we thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit who enlightens us to go deeper into those mysteries of the faith that shine their light on us. We thank you for revealing yourself and your desire for friendship with each one of us and for continuing to call us even when we stray, even when we haven't been paying attention, letting us know and gently correcting us when we turn our glance away from you. We ask you to give us the grace, first of all, the forgiveness for those times when we've been unattentive, and to strengthen our vision, minds, so that we come to know you better each day, and give us the love in our hearts to spread that knowledge of you and that joy to everyone we meet, through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Monsignor. You're always welcome to come on over the phone and or come up here to Doylestown, but it's in your busy schedule. Sometimes it's not the best way to do it, but you're always welcome either mode. This is Dave Parker at Holy Spirit Radio, 1570 AM in Doylestown in Philadelphia and 1420 in Coatesville and Chester County, saying thank you for listening to this special edition of Spirit of the Delaware Valley. Take care, God bless, and see you soon. Thank you.